Has God failed us? No. Sometimes we interpret some of our circumstances and think that God has walked away and failed us. James, you want to comment on that? Because I think it's easy for human nature to think that God deserts us, you know, and just walks away and he doesn't care. He's got other things. He doesn't care about me. He cares about this one or that one. Cares more about Nan than anybody. And Nan's got a poem for us in just a minute. But go ahead, James. Answer that.
I agree. Sometimes we think we're abandoned by God. I've talked about my childhood on here about being adopted and some of the things I went through. And the moments I thought I was abandoned by God, something would happen that I would be removed from the situation for, 24 to 48 hours. Someplace I could get, catch my breath would be a good way to say it. And we as a teenager, some of the hard stuff I went through as a teenager, it was hard, very hard not to think that way.
Right, sure.
But there was those moments when I knew I needed a night away from my adopted parents' house, or a weekend away, or maybe 2 or 3 days if I was lucky, because that was rare. But in those moments when I knew I was desperate, in those moments when I felt depressed and I was full of anxiety, I remember going in my bedroom, sitting on my bed and closing my eyes and squeezing my hands as hard as I can and pulling them to my chest and going, God, please let me get out of here for just one night. Mm-hmm. And in the moment, I thought I was abandoned because of the things I was going through at the time. He would, sure. He would just yank me out of there for a day or two and give me what every teenage kid wanted, just a little simple break, just a...
Yeah.
So I ask you to remember that today if you have teenagers in your house or kids, you don't know what they're going through.
Right.
Give them a 24-hour break. Give them a 48-hour break.
Helps sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nan, give us your poem, please.
I am always here for you.
Wait a minute. Let me get your mic on. That would help, right?
Yeah, that would help. I can read it to these two. I am always here for you, precious child. I will never leave you to stand alone. I will strengthen you to face what you do. With my help, you will become strong. I will see you through all that you face. Praise me right in the place where you stand. Look to me, read my word and pray. Reach out and take my loving hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Comment on that, will you, Maya, just a minute?
My favorite psalm, and probably, I have two, my life verse, and then my favorite psalm in general is Psalm 13, where it starts out, God, why did you forsake me? Why did you leave me? So even, and David was going through a really rough time, which in most of the psalms, he's going through a really rough time, poor David.
Yeah, he is, isn't he, a lot of times.
Yeah.
Well, we mentioned this morning, Saul tried to kill him 21 times.
Exactly, and then his son tried to kill him and take over, and... poor David, humble David, was going through a really rough time. But during those rough times, he was able to write out most and probably the majority of the Psalms, which are absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
Even Psalm 13, where he's saying, hey, why did you leave me?
Right.
What's going on? Like, I'm still here. I'm still faithful to you. Why did you leave me? And I've heard James's, testimony multiple times. Within the years that we've been together, and he's again, even in our wedding vows, he said it, I used to pray to be taken out from the situation that I was in, because he had a rough situation, but God didn't forsake him or leave him.
Yes,
because the scriptures prove it. We may feel alone, but he's still there.
Exactly.
He's still there.
Exactly. He is. He's not gone anywhere, right?
No.
He's not gone anywhere.
And I don't plan on him deciding to.
It's just, there's proof. I was out of work for 2 months. And
right.
When I got at my lowest right the week before Christmas, we had a word of prophecy, or I had one spoken over me. And I haven't brought this up at church, so I will. A good friend of ours, Wanda, beautiful Christian lady. called out of the blue, called Maya, and gave a word of prophecy about it. And in that time when I was hurting, and I was the weakest, and I thought God had abandoned me about this job, I get a phone call from a good friend that knows of our situation, but she had no clue how desperate we had gotten at the moment. And
right.
And that's only God. That she's like, she told me what exactly was going to happen about my job and the situation. And
wow.
Yes.
Took care of it.
Three letter word. Wow. Yeah.
Took care of the whole situation, right? Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Amazing.
Well, God has a way of taking care of us, does he not? And there's times that we don't know how he's going to do that. We have no clue what's going to happen. But he knows what he's got planned. And he knew what he would have planned here because of Saul's disobedience. He knew that he had to make a change at some point. And so David was standing ready, and we're going to talk about David here in this second hour. We're glad you're joining us today. We've got to do station ID right now, so don't go anywhere. We're coming right back for the second hour of Living the Good Life, which we love doing.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
All right. Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life right here on TAN Talk Network. Also, we are on YouTube now, YouTube/, you can see James and Maya in there right now, YouTube/ TAN Talk Radio / live right this moment, or after the show, YouTube/ TAN Talk Radio / and then Living the Good Life and the date, which today is 1/26/20. So anyway, welcome back. We're excited for this second hour. We're talking about David. We're talking about obedience. We're talking about trusting God, developing trust. And when Samuel found out that, that Saul had done what he'd done, he was very disappointed. And he was like really crushed by the whole thing, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. It broke his heart.
It broke his heart. Yeah.
He cried.
He did. He absolutely did. And a lot of times we find ourselves in situations where we have disappointed God and we have hurt God. What do we do in those times, Maya?
I think it depends on who you are. Me, if I know that I've disappointed God and that I did something that I probably shouldn't have done, it hurts. And I'm a dweller, and like I'm one that would it crushes me. I get ashamed, and I'll cry about it, and I'll, even though I've asked for forgiveness, when I realize what I had done, it's like, I'm just that person that it takes everything in me, it just
right.
breaks me, until God sends somebody to be like, Maya, enough, come on, like, get over it.
Usually the hubby.
It's done. It's over with. I've already forgiven you. Get
right.
up. You know, I'm just emotional that way.
Sure, yeah. Those things happen like that, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
So... anyway, we are looking forward to this hour and listen to this song. And Maya, if you will come this way in here to help me with something here,
yes,
that would be great. And listen to this. And I love this song. It's one of our favorites of Beacon. We sing it a lot. By Hillsong, Who You Say I Am. Right?
Sam.
Woo!
Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Who is free indeed. I'm a child. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who then shall set me free? Oh, There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Praise God. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And I love that song. I do. I do.
Amen.
And you know what? God had a plan for his king, and his child of God that he wanted to put in this place was a guy by the name of David. And if you're just now joining us, we talked in the first hour about the times that Samuel the prophet thought that, you know, maybe this first son is the right one, and then maybe it's the second, and then maybe it's the third. And it really turned out to be the eighth son. Nan, do you have something you want to share with us before we talk about David?
Yes.
All right. Go right ahead.
Always remember that you have been set free. You are traveling with me on your journey. You have been set free because of my son. It was due to him. For you, it was done. I love you so much. You are special to me. I'm making you into a wonderful beauty. Always remember where you stand with me. You are victor. You have been set free.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. So when those times that you feel like, hey, God can't use me, I don't know what's going on, we see here that when Samuel thought that all these different sons of Jesse were the right one, and finally, in verse 11 of 1 Samuel 16, he says to Jesse, God just rejected all these. Do you have any more? Have any more boys anywhere? Because if you do, we need to talk to that one. And Jesse said, well, I happen to have one. Maya, tell us who this was that he had.
David.
He had David.
Shepherd boy.
The little shepherd boy. The least, right? The youngest, the least, mm-hmm. right? And Jesse sent and brought him in, verse 12, because he was out in the field. And I love the description of David. Maya, talk about that, verse 12. I just love that description. Oh, you want to, James?
Oh, this is
go ahead.
Probably my favorite part of the story.
Okay, go.
I love looking into people's eyes when they're talking
yes,
to me. I
yes.
stare into their eyes. You
right.
know that. When
yeah.
you're preaching,
sure.
I stare
you
into
do.
Your eyes.
You do.
And it's just... something was taught to me, you know,
yeah.
respect. And not only that, you can really see what they're trying to say. And with David, bright.
Yeah.
Uses the word
bright.
And you don't hear that described.
Right.
And
yeah.
But the word bright, the way his, you know, the word Rudy.
Yeah.
I had to look it up. I didn't understand what it meant. And
yeah.
I looked it up on my phone during service. You
yeah.
seen me
yeah.
on my phone. That's
yeah,
what I was doing.
Right.
I didn't understand,
yeah, understand.
It. Because I know how you are about the phones being
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's true.
But I looked up the word, and I was like, okay, if he looked at him and the second two sets of words to describe him was bright eyes, that first word must mean something really, really
right,
nice.
Right, exactly.
And I looked it up, and I was like, okay, the bright eyes is more important.
Yeah, because it's talking about his complexion.
Yes,
was kind of
I didn't understand
red,
that at the time.
Red, because he was out in the sun all the time. He was a shepherd boy,
sure.
So of course his skin.
Yeah, and they preferred people with a lighter complexion.
Right.
Back then, they didn't like to see that you were sunburnt because it meant you were. Of lower stature.
Yeah, you
means
were a day
you had
laborer. Yes.
You had to work.
Sure.
And this being David, he was the eighth in line to his father's home.
Right.
You know, and here he is. He's content with it.
Yes.
Content. You know this by his eyes, the
yes.
brightness in his
That's
eyes.
That's a great point, James.
He's okay with being
right.
who he is already at this age.
Yes.
And God already knew his heart. God knew his heart before he was ever born, because God knew us before we were ever formed in our mother's
right.
womb. So God knew this
mm-hmm.
plan. He'd already set this plan in
yes.
motion. He didn't put it in the first son. He didn't put it in the sixth son. He didn't put it in the seventh son. He put it in the eighth son, the one that was furthest from getting anything, the one that the most glory would be given to God
right.
out of lifting him up
right.
from
point.
Being a content shepherd boy.
Yes.
Not just a shepherd boy. A content.
He was happy doing what he did every day.
He was fine with it. He was okay with defending his sheep from the lions and the bobcats and everything else that's out there trying. He was content with that.
Content with a low job, right?
Yes. And from that point, mm-hmm. God will get the most glory.
The number 8 in Scripture refers to resurrection and new life.
I did not know that.
Yes. And so look at that. He was the 8th child. So he was God resurrected him, brought him up from out with the sheep into becoming the second king of Israel and the greatest king of Israel.
We've seen, if you look back in the Scripture in the book of Genesis, we've seen God do that before,
take the
baby. Jacob and Esau, Jacob was born second.
Right.
I mean, granted, he kind of took it on his own, the birthright, but God still allowed him to. He didn't stop him. And then again with Joseph's sons, when Jacob was giving them the blessing, he switched it. He put his hands over them and switched them crossword, saying,
exactly.
Your youngest is going to be first.
Right.
So we see it in Scripture that God has done that before. Apparently, he likes the babies of the family.
He likes the heart.
Exactly.
It goes back to what Samuel said back here in verse 7. The Lord sees not as a man sees. Mm-hmm. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Betty, talk to us about this. So important. It's our heart. It's all about our heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
That's right. And a merry heart do good like a medicine.
It does.
And there's just so many things. Just back up just a tad. I work with animals. And one of the... You know, people think, oh, why would you do that? Why would you want to work with animals? Well, it's the same way David, being a shepherd, is that, you know, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice.
Yes, they do.
And that voice is becoming so over and over again. You hear that voice, and you know that working with animals, that when they hear that voice, that they hear your heart.
That's right.
And I'm saying that from an animal caregiver standpoint. And that's what God looks at. You know, even though I've had heart surgery more than once, I've had one surgery and two other placements of stents, is that my heart has never been damaged with all of the things that I've been through, because God knows my heart, and he knows that out of heart, And in the same way with David, is compassion and caring. And, you know, David was smaller in stature, but his heart was as big as Texas. I mean, he is, David is my guy, the harp player.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to play a harp. And, you know, David is, like you said, one of the greatest kings. And there was a reason why
he
was one of the greatest kings.
You know why he was the greatest king of Israel? Because God brought his son, the Messiah, through the line of David. So that's why he's the greatest.
Amen. Took the words right out of my mouth.
Right. Verse 13, 1 Samuel 16. Then Samuel took the horn of oil. He obeyed. He anointed David in the midst of his brothers, in front of his brothers. His brothers are probably going, oh my gosh, I'm older, I'm smarter, I'm taller, whatever, I'm better looking. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And now verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented and troubled him. And so we see that Saul, the anointing passed, and he just existed as a ruler in Israel, but he did not have the Spirit of God on him. And that is huge. People can be in ministry, and we've all seen it. We've seen people in ministry who they say the right things, they can preach the sermons, whatever, but the Spirit of the Lord isn't there. Maya, you want to address that? Because I've seen it many times in my years where it seems like a sermon just falls flat. Or people are more interested in their fancy cars and their big palaces. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, where for some reason people think that being in the church is going to get you rich or ministering in the churches, you know, oh, the church is where the money is. Honestly, it's not. Just to be honest, it's really not. And you could have, I've heard of people in the ministry failing so much, just not, they started out where they were supposed to be with their heart in line with what God wanted them to do. And then just through their blessings, again, they get cocky and they figure, oh, I can do this without God. And very slowly their heart starts to get holes in them, like,
yeah,
pinholes.
Exactly. Where,
and Satan loves those pinholes.
That's where he can get in with his suggestions, right?
Right. It starts with, you know, breaking into your armor. And then once your armor is broken, it's really hard to come back. Because once Satan gets into those pinholes in your heart and blackens them a little bit, that's right, when your focus goes off and you want, oh, I need a jet because I've got a congregation of 1,500 or whatever.
Right.
Whatever it is. And you just... your heart, because we were talking about jets and
we people. Were at lunch. We were talking about jets at lunch, whatever.
But yeah, once your heart gets blackened, it's really hard to get it back to where it needs to be. And at times, God's like, yeah, next, well, sorry, next.
Well, the thing about David is, yeah, he was an attractive young man. He was not tall.
He was good
looking. We think he was pretty average. It was about his heart. It was about his spirit. Mm-hmm. And verse 18 of 1 Samuel 16, one of the young men said, somebody said, when Saul was so battered by evil spirits that would attack his mind and he would go into rages and all kinds of things, one of the servants said, hey, I know a young man. He is, and here's a description of David, verse 18. He is the son of Jesse. He plays skillfully. That's on his harp or his lyre. A valiant man. Now he was young man, but he was known to be, he was probably just mid-teens. A valiant man. We know he had already killed a bear and a lion, right? Mm-hmm. And a man of war. Prudent in speech and eloquent, an attractive person. And here's the end of this verse 18. And the Lord is with him. Betty talked to us about David.
You think that was the sales pitch?
Yeah, that's the sales
pitch
right there.
That's the sales pitch. And you cap it off with the best part.
The best part right at the end. And the Lord's with him. Mm-hmm. He's got all that other stuff going.
He's got all them personal, earthly qualities.
Right.
That you want in a man.
Yes.
But that last one is the most important.
That's the most important right there. And the Lord is with him, right? Woo! Talk to us, Betty, before we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Well, that's what we were talking about, you know, the outward appearance of man plays no part in what God calls you for. You know, you could be as homely as molded bread, but if your heart...
As homely as molded bread? Is that a saying
Indiana? I live for her sayings.
Wow.
But, I'm not a
Betty,
not a
can I steal that one?
Yeah, we want to steal that. Ahead. Yeah,
it's not copyrighted, so go right ahead. But what? Before y'all interrupted me, you're gonna make me lose my train of thought.
We're trying to get you to lose your train of thought.
Uh-huh.
Well, it doesn't take much. But what I'm trying to say is that God uses you, no matter what you look like, no matter what you smell like, no matter what you think you can't do. Is that God knows your heart. He
Amen.
Knows your abilities. He's given you the God-given abilities, just like he did David. The Lord was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Lord is with you, that there is nothing that you can't do.
Oh, amen.
But he had the confidence, he had the ability to do what God needed him to do, and that was to be a king. But again, he started him out as a shepherd and moved him up. And that's what I was talking about earlier in the program, is when we lift God higher and higher, he takes us right along with him.
Amen.
Because we were talking about those seasons of change, and seasons are good. You know,
mm-hmm.
we grow and we learn to flourish and bloom where we're planted. And
yes.
that's what God saw in David. And when the Lord is with you, who can be against you?
Right. Absolutely. it is so important that we grow in God and that we allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to our heart and change us, Maya, because there's times that we fight against it. We get stuck in a rut, or we get mad at God because this hasn't happened and that hasn't happened. We become bitter. Mm-hmm. You want to discuss that?
Sometimes it's easier to just be mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to sulk and be in that bitter place. Again, like I said earlier, we know he's going to change it.
Right.
But it's just easier to have a personal pity party.
Oh, yeah.
And
a lot of people are very good at pity parties. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of them.
But nobody wants to come to your pity party, I'm going to tell you right now.
It's
a solo act.
Nobody wants to be around you when you're in a pity party.
No, they don't. No. Like,
enough.
Enough.
To stop. Because, again, a lot of times we know God's going to change it. He's going to do what he wants to do.
But I think a lot of times human nature wants to get attention from, it's my mess is so bad. It's terrible. You just don't know.
Right.
You know, we kind of get a lot of attention from that sometimes, right?
And we enjoy the eye on me.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I do this, then people are going to look at me. If I do that, then they're going to, even if I'm in a dark place,
right.
If I make it about me, then I feel a little bit better because all people are paying attention to me. They're hugging me and they're praying for me and they're asking. So then we just extend it a little bit longer,
right?
Because I like that attention, and to the point where God's like, enough about you. It's not about you.
Well, let's
let
go.
Me.
You're exactly right. Think about Saul and his disobedience and what he did. It was about him. He wanted all those great cattle and sheep that he didn't want to destroy because he really wanted them for himself.
He needed them.
You know, he wanted the king. When God said, destroy the king, he goes, well, I'd really like to have the king so I can kind of walk him around the plaza and show everybody, I got the king, you know. Talk about that, James, because a lot of times it is... We don't want to obey exactly because we are getting attention or we are getting glory from something, right?
Yes, ma'am. I strongly agree with that. Remember, God's a God of judgment. And when you shine the light on yourself, he's going to turn around and shine that light right back on him. And no matter, it's believe me, when he turns that light around and shines it back on him, that darkness that follows on you,
right?
It's on you.
Right.
That's you
and
know,
it's not
you,
a good place
you,
to be.
You've got to remember to walk in his light.
Well, look at
not
Saul.
Not your light.
Saul, doing that act of disobedience, right? So what happens? An evil spirit comes on him. This is human nature. When demonic spirits see a foothold that they can get, when we are off in our own thing, we're off in bitterness, jealousy, unforgiveness, we're off feeling sorry for ourselves, look out, you're opening doors for the devil to come in and do a number on you. Betty, you want to talk about that real quick before we go to this song? Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that where Satan can really get a hold of us is when we are in those pity parties.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of the time when we're in those pity parties, we're not reading the Word.
Right.
We're not praying. We're not praising God.
Right.
Even in our most difficult circumstances, is that Satan gets a foothold in there, and that causes us to almost do a 90-degree turn from where we need to be, because we need to, when we are in those circumstances, we've got to focus on God.
Amen.
We've got to keep looking up. We've got to be on our knees. We've got to be praising and thanking him. Lord God, I know I'm going through this. You know that I'm standing by myself in this sometimes, but Lord God, I know that you are carrying me.
Right.
That's where we need to look instead of,
exactly.
of being having the self-pity and so forth. Is Lord, I know you are carrying me during this time, just like, pardon me, he's done with me on numerous occasions, and I know that he has done with others, is that, you know, God is our strength, and I need to leave you because we are going to
church,
our worship service.
Okay, that's fine.
But I would like, hold on, where did it go?
She's getting ready to read some.
Yeah, I was going to read 1 Corinthians. Talks about God is our strength and our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have to keep
that's
our
right.
focus is
right.
on him. And to understand that, let me see, no, I lost it. is that God is our strength. He is our help in time of need.
Right.
And he is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. I think I have that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That he's going to provide for us, no matter how destitute, and I've been there, how destitute you are, he is going to pull you out. Now, it may not be in your timing, but his timing is perfect. And
exactly.
So I just want to encourage people that if you feel like that you need help or you need additional support, I'm going to plug the prayer line.
Go ahead.
Please send your prayers. The prayers at bohmglobal.com.
Amen.
And because we want to pray for you. We want to encourage you during those very difficult times.
Yes.
Because we've all been there. And who else can better minister than people who have been in that situation?
Exactly.
And I just speak blessing upon each one of you today. And I just pray that God will be with you. And
Amen.
If God be for us, guys, who can be against
us? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Betty Thomas. We always love having you on the air. Grand Rapids, Michigan. She's going to be here live and in person in the middle of March. We're excited about that for a couple weeks. Thank you, Betty. We're going to go to this song, and this is one that really gets to me sometimes. Matt Redman, Gracefully Broken, and we're going to talk about that. What does that mean?
Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, oh, set me on fire. Here I am, God, I'm pouring out my life, gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name. Your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me. You will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open, oh, pouring out my life, gracefully broken, pouring out my life again. Here I am, God, arms. God, arms
I like that song.
Here I am, God.
Yeah.
Arms wide open.
What's that mean, Maya? What does God want of us?
To surrender.
Pouring out my life, gracefully broken.
We get broken by grace, don't we? I mean, go ahead.
I was thinking during that song, because you said we were going to discuss it, and sometimes when you say things, I'm like, oh, wait, I don't know what that means. Hold on, let me think about it for a second. Just being honest.
That's okay.
So I was thinking during that song, because I was trying to process what it meant. There is a time when James and I were engaged. I think we had like just gotten engaged. We were planning a wedding, stressed out beyond max. Well, I was. And God had... I had just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit like a couple Sundays before this certain incident. And the Holy Spirit was, like you say, bringing out all the junk in my life.
That's what he does.
In our life. And what he making does. It known to me.
Yeah.
At a point where I really didn't want to.
Yeah.
I really didn't care to know. Because I was happy. I was finally going to get married.
Woo! Right, yeah.
And here comes, you know, God saying, yeah, that's great, but guess what? You got some things we have to work out first.
Exactly.
And I remember James being honest about things that he needed to work on in his side too. And at that, it was like a week. It was a week time. We talked, and God kind of slapped me in the face. And that whole week, I was gracefully broken.
Right.
I hurt because the Holy Spirit was, I think you remember me coming to you.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit was working things out of me.
Right. Yes.
But it was beautiful at the same time. And I've heard it happen before where people have gone through probably like the most difficult time in their life, losing a child or whatever that situation can be.
Right.
But it was also that time where it was beautiful.
Right.
Like the heartbreak in itself was beautiful, as crazy as that probably does sound, because how can heartbreak be beautiful? But if it's done by God,
right,
it really is beautiful. Like he's breaking you to bring you to the point where you need to be. And it was like that week time span where I was angry, I was hurt, but then again, I felt kind of refreshed because things were coming out in the open and we were able to work through it together and with people who God had brought into our lives to show me what was going on. Because my initial reaction usually is to get mad and be like, I hate everybody, leave me alone. And for this time, it just... as
why weren't you that way this time?
I can answer that.
All right, James.
Because as hurt as I was, it was God showing himself through me.
Exactly. That's what it was. It was your spirit, man, allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work. Go ahead, James.
My wife had walked in that day. And she was in a great mood, a great mood. She was in just she was feeling blessed. She was feeling loved. She was just up there in her high spirit. And with a few simple words, I broke that. But in that moment, I had to, because God had been dealing with my heart for a few days, and it had come to a point that day. I was in my Bible, I was reading, and when she got home, I was sitting on the front porch reading my Bible.
Yeah.
And God was that gracefully broken. He was breaking me for that week. He had started, and he had been speaking to me about that issue, and it was something I had to reveal to my wife, or my future wife at the time. We weren't married. And we had to get it out in the open and put it on the table.
Sure, those things happen. Need to happen sometimes.
It broke my wife.
Mm-hmm.
It did. I seen what it did to her, and but I can tell you this: the next 24 hours was very shocking to me, because my wife's reaction to things like that, like she just said, was "Leave me alone! Get out of my face! I don't want to deal with it."
Yeah.
Those next 24 hours were not that way.
Wow.
Those next 24 hours, me and my wife had time to talk. We had time to discuss things. And that's...
scream, holler, yell, you know.
Yeah. Well, we did a little bit of that, and you know.
That's okay.
But that... if God hadn't prepared my heart for 3 or 4 days ahead of that, and God hadn't prepared her heart 3 or 4 days ahead of that, then it would have just been broken, not gracefully broken. Not, she wouldn't have seen that I was coming from God trying to be open and honest with her. She wouldn't have, you know, she wouldn't have saw that. She would have been mad and just told me to get out of her life and leave her alone. And because she saw the work that God was working in me, and, and she knew it wasn't, this wasn't James. This was not James. This was
God working. That's what we're
this
saying.
This was God breaking me and putting me on the right path that he wanted, and getting me away from those things that weren't godly.
Right.
You know, and it, when you walk like that, and the truth is, this day, I miss that closeness. Because I tell you what, that was about 3 or 4 months, and I had plenty of time to read my Bible. I had plenty of time to pray, and I did that. I did exactly that, and I miss. And I have the time now, not as much as I did then, but I still have the time. And I guess that's my lesson for today.
Like you crave for those moments. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
But you crave when you've walked through that brokenness.
The beautiful
you
brokenness.
Understand what people say when they've done it. Because if you've never done it, like you really don't understand. Because I never understand. I hear people say, oh, yeah, it was a beautiful time. And I'm thinking, how could you be suffering and it be beautiful? Like, you must be insane. Until it happened to us, to me. And now I can truly say, I understand what you mean to be hurting so much, but it feels so good, which is kind of so strange.
Well, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work the Holy Spirit is supposed to be doing in our hearts.
Exactly. And I think if we wouldn't have gone through that, our marriage, we haven't been married a year. We haven't been married a year yet. We're 9 months in.
Right.
And I don't think we would have even made it.
Yeah. But see, when we submit to the Lordship of Jesus, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now, we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God. This is 1 Corinthians 2:12. Given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit. You see, what was going on in your lives then is you are allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you the deeper truth. Because a lot of times we settle for dealing with a surface issue. And we get mad. We harbor resentment over that surface issue. Mm-hmm. Not allowing the Holy Spirit to go deep into the roots of our heart. And here, when we allow the Holy Spirit combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit, then this kind of thing can happen. But in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 12, but the natural, this is Saul, okay, David is the one who understood that God talked to him. David's the one who wrote most of the Psalms, right? Why? Because he was out there with the shepherds. He was a shepherd. He was a humble man. He was teachable. The natural, the unspiritual man, does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. They're folly. They're meaningless. They're nonsense to him. He's not even capable of understanding what's going on here. Because these things are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, and then I want you both to comment. But the spiritual man tries all things, examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, discerns, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. In other words, it's not, we are not saying, we don't say, okay, you come tell me everything wrong with me. No, no. The Holy Spirit is the one who judges our heart. And teaches us. don't ever get yourself into a situation where you say, come here, tell me everything wrong with me that you don't like. What's wrong with that idea, Maya? I know people that have done that
kind of
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In Bible studies and stuff.
Please be honest with me and tell me everything you think about me. And as they're doing it, because some people are like, okay. As they're doing it, you're like, oh, ew, no, be quiet. Shh. There was a time where I sang in one of our services. And to me, when I sing, like, that's my praise. I always say that God speaks to me through music. I hear him through music. When I am singing, my heart is on the table. It's open. God, just do with it what you need to. Unless I'm in my prideful state of mind, which once in a while I'm human, it happens. And there was this one particular time you had asked me to sing in service, and I must have been in my not realizing it. I must have been like, oh yeah, like I can sing. And usually after every time I sing, I always go to James and say, so, you know, what did you think? Did I sound decent?
Yeah. Because she knows I'm going to be honest
right.
and tell
and
her
to
the
me,
truth
like,
about
I don't like to tell my own voice. To me, it's horrible no matter what. I'm my own worst critic.
You have a beautiful
and
voice.
Thank you. And that one time James said, Maya, that was the worst performance you've ever done. It was around Thanksgiving. And I had practiced. I was going to sing from my diaphragm. And I was so angry with him.
Oh, okay.
I mean, to the point where I didn't want to speak to him. I didn't want to look at him because coming from my husband, but he was honest with me. And I remember telling him, but the thing was that he kept saying it. And I remember telling him, please just stop.
Because enough already. I've heard it. I've got it.
Right,
I got it.
My heart, God knows my heart. So yes, I was trying to be technically and do it the right way technically. My praise wasn't in it.
And okay.
I went to the person that I thought was going to be honest, and he was, and it hurt me. Mm-hmm. So a word of advice, don't ask anybody what they think about you
right.
or the bad things about you
sure.
because they're going to be honest. And most likely you're not going to like it because I did not like hearing that from him because he's my number one fan, and he'll say it flat out. I am your number one fan when you sing. But that one time, like, he hurt me. So don't ask anybody what to think about you.
Well, that's good advice. Well, the thing is, the spirit within us, when we are doing something as unto the Lord, we really should not need people's opinions, right?
It shouldn't matter.
We're doing it to God. We're doing it. We're singing for God, to mm-hmm. God, about God, right? But a lot of times when the ego, that's the natural man that's talked about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When the natural man, that's the Saul nature,
mm-hmm.
Saul versus David. The Saul nature is, oh, I don't think it'd be bad just to keep the king and a couple of these, mm-hmm. bunch of these oxen and sheep and whatever. And not, you know, I'm going to kill the, I'm going to keep the pretty people or the pretty animals. I'm going to kill the rest, right?
I did what he told me to do. I just didn't, you know, he won't mind if I keep these little bits myself.
But isn't that our human nature? That's mm-hmm. the natural man in all of us. Like, okay, I'm going to keep this habit, because they're not that bad. I'm going to get rid of this one mm-hmm. over here.
I've been on like a YouTube pastor kick where I've been listening to different sermons, and this one woman was preaching. I don't remember exactly who it was. And she was saying that she had preached at this big like conference, and everybody, when she was done, they were standing up and they were clapping for her, and she sat back down, and somebody, one of her mentors told her, I hope that you're really enjoying the clapping that you're getting right now, because that's your reward. That's your
exactly.
that's your heavenly reward. Like,
right.
That's what you
that's
got
it.
On earth.
That's all
it.
You're getting
done.
For that.
Yep. And that.
Like, so we shouldn't be doing ministry or anything that God calls us to do with an attitude of, I wonder how many people can like it. You know, like mm-hmm. on Facebook, you know, put something on it. Oh, how many likes am I going to get? That's the human nature mm-hmm. in all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, James, you want to comment on any of that?
We've lost
Betty and we've lost Nan, so now it's just the three of us, right? Go ahead. It's all right.
Human nature, you know, from the very, very beginning is deceitful.
It is.
Very
yes.
deceitful.
And, yes.
This deceit is in lying to ourselves, and mm-hmm. is in thinking that we're impenetrable, we're unbreakable, we're on this, we're
in a bag of chips.
Two bags. Oreos.
Two bags.
Oreos. If you're me, okay. I don't want chips.
All right. I gotcha.
I'm a cookie guy. But yeah, that that first time Satan ever lied to us, you know, about the tree of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
That started the deceit. Inside of ourselves.
That's
that
right.
We are all that.
And what God's looking for is humble people. And that's what David was. That's why the contrast between Saul and David is so huge, because Saul was the pretty boy and the tall guy and the handsome one, and everybody wanted to have Saul as king. Wow, he was so popular. And David was a nobody.
He was good looking, but that's about it.
Like, that song we did last week, I'm Just a Nobody, telling mm-hmm. about everybody about somebody, that one, you know, love that song, because that is who we should be. We're just a nobody telling everybody about somebody, mm-hmm. right? That changed my life and saved my soul. Mm-hmm. That's why I got to get that song ready use.
I love that song.
I do too. We're going to have to, we'll do it a couple weeks when I get back. But, you know, it's not about what we can accomplish for the kingdom of God. It's our heart while we're doing it. Maya, talk to us.
It's not about the effort that we put into it. As long as we're doing it for the right reasons, then God's going to bless it. But if we're not doing it for the right reasons, then I feel like God isn't. He's just going to be like, okay, you did it your way. Again, you did it your way. Now it's my turn, right? But go sit down, because now I'm taking over.
Go sit down.
Go sit down. Go sit down in the corner. Take a deep breath. And
sit down.
You know, David was a shepherd. He hung out with sheep. He, you know, scriptures say that he was good looking,
mm-hmm.
but he hung out with sheep, which means that he was probably dirty and smelled funny. Mm-hmm. And that's who God wanted.
And we don't think he was very tall. We think he was pretty average.
He was little.
Or small.
Because when you go on reading about David with Goliath, like
he was
a little boy. He was a little boy.
Little teenager.
Right. He, you know, and we read on about him going to go see Saul and play his harp. And, mm-hmm. you know, he wasn't cocky, but he probably didn't even realize what was going on. He's probably like, oh, the king wants to see what?
Yeah.
Okay. And Saul loved him.
But mm-hmm. but being a child of God and being that humble, I doubt very seriously. I don't know, Pastor, you would know better than me. I doubt very seriously that David had Saul set on a pedestal. He did not see him as a king. He saw him as another human being.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. And that would be my guess. Because when you have a heart after God,
you don't idolize people.
A guy wearing a golden crown or a golden ring or a golden bracelet.
Not that big a deal, right?
Or a purple robe back then, you know, that they were.
Right.
That was, I doubt very seriously that David, you're king.
Okay.
That's it.
So the bottom line of all this is, listen to this song, this Spirit of the Lord, fall on me. This is the one I was talking about this morning, my sermon.
We welcome you in this place, Lord.
Make this your prayer as you hear this. Terry McCallum. Spirit of the Lord, fall on me.
Through the streets of our cities, God. Hallelujah. Let it happen, God. Let it happen in us, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our hearts as we sing together. Spirit of the Lord, fall on me.
This is your prayer today.
Hallelujah. And fill me with invite him in today as you sing it. Spirit of the Lord, fall on me. And fill me with your glory. So Spirit of the Lord, set me free. And fill
that song. That should be the cry of our hearts. Is that the cry of your heart, dear one, this day? You want God to come and just fill you up again right now with His Spirit? Let's pray together. Oh, God, that is the cry of our hearts right here on this show today. Lord, we just ask that you just come and fill us anew with your power, your presence. Lord, we just want to be what you want us to be. We want to say the things you want us to say. We want to be so full of you that people know that there's something different going on in us. Lord, for our listeners right now, you know where they are. You know who they are. Whether they listen live or later on, we ask that this be the cry of their heart too. We intercede for them that they will desire to have the Spirit of the living God living so big within them that their lives are changed forever and that your Holy Spirit does the work of cleanup in our hearts. The work of encouragement in our hearts, the work of really just giving us a purpose and a plan. Lord, we just pray for our listeners. You know who they are. We don't, but you know. So, Lord, we just give them to you and ask that you do the work that needs to be done. We thank you for what's been accomplished today on the show. You get the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Ooh, talk to us, kids. James, Maya, whoever wants to go first.
Today's sermon. My heart is what I got out of this today's sermon.
Your heart?
My heart.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have a good heart. I know God gave me a
you
good
do.
Heart. I know
you
I
do,
have,
James. You do.
I have a servant's heart.
I
love helping people. Mm-hmm. To me, there's nothing, there's no more joy other than the joy of God that when I have the opportunity to reach out and help someone, that I do it.
You want to do it?
I don't ask for a dime. Mm-hmm. You know, I've helped at our church.
Oh,
People from the church have asked me to help, and they've called me to their house to do things. And I love doing it.
Yes, yes. Got a servant's heart.
9 times out of 10 is something so simple to me. To them, it's complicated.
Yeah.
You know, electrical.
Because that's your gift. Because that's your gift. Yeah.
I understand construction better than most people I know mm-hmm. that are in construction.
Yeah.
So if I could give a word of advice, prepare your heart. You know, get your heart right with God, mm-hmm. And He will lead it.
Open the doors. Yeah. He will send you where He wants to send you. Maya, talk to us.
You know, I really don't have anything else to say.
Okay.
I think I've said it all.
All right. It's been a good show. It's been a really good show. And we always appreciate having Betty and Nan join us when they can. And dear listeners, we encourage you to check out Beacon of Hope. We are actually in the process of creating a brand new website, and we hope to launch it in about a month. So it's coming along. We're making progress. You can go to our old one temporarily. It's still up there, although this new one's going to be dynamic. And the old one is bohmglobal.com. The new one will be too after we take down the old one. Anyway, so that's what's going on. Join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. for a service, a powerful, spirit-filled service, right,
Amen.
Guys? Mm-hmm. We never know what God's going to do. It's always fantastic. We look forward to it every single Sunday, 10 a.m. We start Sundays with a 9 o'clock prayer meeting, which is powerful every single week, and we get some kingdom business done then. Wednesday night's Bible study night, 5:45 p.m. for prayer meeting followed by Bible study at 6:30. Blah, blah, blah. And so that's every Wednesday night. So we'd like for you to join us. We have a lot of activities. In fact, we passed out a calendar today. We got so much going on, don't we, Maya? So many fun things. Karaoke times, game nights, all kinds
movie
of things.
Nights.
Yeah, movie nights. Come and be a part of the family, a Beacon of Hope, because there's a lot going on, guys, and you would really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be ministering next Sunday in Puebla, Mexico at Enrique Zenteno's church. Looking forward to that. I've got a lot going on in the next couple weeks, and but we'll be right back here very soon. We'll have a show next Sunday, and we look forward to you all checking into that. Send all prayer requests, as Betty said, to prayers at bohmglobal.com. She or Pastor Jim will pick up those requests and write out a prayer and send it to the prayer team. You want to be on the prayer team? Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Send an email and we'll put you on. All right? We don't ask for donations hardly ever, but if you want to give, go to the current homepage at the bottom where it says donations. PayPal will open if you'd like to give towards this radio ministry. Check out our Thursday night show, which is Dr. Angel, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and me, Mama Mac, as we do a life coaching show. Right now we're in series Developing Healthy Relationships. It's a good series. Check it out. God bless every one of you. Maya and James, the married couple, the newlyweds. Nan, who's not here, she left. And Betty, who's gone to church. And all of us, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope. God bless every one of you. See you next week. Have a great week.
And fill me, and fill me with your glory. All right, you know it now, sing it. Spirit of the Lord, fall on me. Hallelujah. Today is a singing spirit.